Hey everyone, I'm so excited to chat with the founders of Dreamgirls today, Tanya Thompson and Shari Wilson. We have been talking for a bit and I love their story, and so I'm excited to get started. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So I'd love to hear a bit about your origin story, because I have friends who are Black and have struggled with growing their hair. And I think what struck me as fascinating about your story is it just seems like, oh, well, I'll never be able to grow my hair. It is what it is. And you've clearly done the opposite and shown that you can have healthy hair and you can grow it. And so I would love to hear, like, what inspired it and how did you even come upon the formulation? Give me all the goods.
Well, this is Tanya. What we sought out to do was to break the stigma of us not being able to grow our hair. And it's almost like a stigma within our community also. So us being hairstylists, we've just learned how to overcome that over time. And it started with me in my mom's back house doing hair. And then I brought Shari in to help me out while she was young. She's 5 years young, 5 years younger than me. So I kind of forced her in to kind of help me with all the clients that I had. And I did hair there. And I also did it through college. So I made extra money. And then from college, I went off to do other things. I didn't really plan on being a hairstylist. And then I went into corporate sales, ended up opening up two schools and flipping property and all that good stuff. And then Shari came along behind me and she started going in my same pathway. And then she decided to end up doing hair as a profession. So she came at me with some ideas later on when I was already fully into my career. About opening up a salon or a space to sell extension hair, because she was out there selling hair and also doing hair. She started an apprenticeship with someone out there, and I let her tell her story. And so when we opened up the space to actually sell hair, it turned into, why don't we do hair, have someone in there to do hair to help sell the extension hairs. And then it went from there into me being in the salon. I think Shari kind of set me up and she had me do this apprenticeship. She was like, just in case one day you decide to get back into it. So that ended up happening. While I was full-fledged into my career, I ended up going back into the salon. And then I just started becoming like a fixer. So what happened was we had a lot of people that were coming in feeling like they had a struggle and with growing their hair. So I was growing it out. But then one of the issues was once they would grow it out, they would maybe go into a curly type of situation and go to a different stylist. And if they had issues there, they would say, well, let me go back into a protective style and get my hair growing. And then what would happen is they would say, oh, no, don't do that. That's going to break your hair off. That's going to do that. That's going to do this. So what happened was I ended up putting up posts just to show people, like, look, you have hair. This person has been wearing a protective style for 18 months and they still have hair. And I would go into them on the months that they had it in, not really knowing that I was starting this program. But people would start coming in saying, well, you know what? I want to do the 18-month program. I want to do the 24-month program. And that's where the healthy hair program came from. So we started the healthy hair program. It was a whole system of us taking what I used to do and putting it into a system to grow hair. So people would stay in it 3 months at a time until they got to their desired length. So the whole goal was to show people that, look, you can wear protective styles. It should be an option, not something that you have to do. But when you take it out, you should be able to wear your hair free flowing. And yes, we can grow our hair no matter what type it is. And I know in our community, we have what's called 4C, 3C, and all these different numbers that they use, which someone came up with. Sometimes people categorize them the wrong way. But we've been able to show people that all different types of hair, because we have a whole range of hair types, and some people feel like what they consider 4C doesn't grow like maybe 3C or what, however those numbers go. So it was a big thing showing them that, no, it doesn't matter how curly your hair is, it can still grow. So what happened was we became so big that we started traveling, because people wanted us to come to different states to do their hair, or they would come out to see us. So we traveled to New York, we traveled to Atlanta. We were doing that for a couple of years. And Shari and I decided, look, we need to put this into a formula so that people can do this on their own, so we're not traveling out all the time to do hair when we have a huge clientele here in Los Angeles or her in Sacramento. So we decided to formulate it. And we had been working on this way back in the days when we came back into it in 2019, Shari?
Yeah, 2019, December. actually.
And we decided to launch in March of 2020. So what happened was we had a launch date. We were both going to do big events in the Sacramento, one here, and then COVID hit. COVID hit right at the, I swear, it was probably on the date that we were supposed to have our launch party. So we all kind of got into a little funk. We were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? This is happening. We don't know how long it's going to be. We didn't know anything about how COVID was going to act out at that point in time. We had already done like a pre-sale like 3 months prior to, no, was it about a month prior to, we did a 3-day sale just to kind of test the waters. We made like 30,000 within 3 days of the pre-sale. And that enabled us to buy our products that we had formulated and put them all into packaging. So we were ready for March 20th or whatever day that was. And when that happened, we were just like, what are we going to do? So we let like a week go by. And we just decided, I was like, look, we just need to do a soft launch. We can't not let the product come out. We just do a soft launch, which meant open up the website, let them know on our social media, we've opened up the website, open it up. We opened it up. We literally did $1 million in the first 6 months. And then the second 6 months, we brought in all together $2.3 million the first year. So of course, we've had some headaches on the way, but we did really well. People were very receptive of it. People were growing their hair like crazy. We're very, very transparent. We show pictures of before and afters. We encourage people out there that are purchasing our products to show before and after pictures. And it is the truth.
So were you always this business savvy, or did it take learning and failing in order to roll with these? Because these numbers are exceptional. And I'm curious if it was just like, oh, that was lucky. Or you were like, no, this was a very strategic approach. And you had the business acumen in order to achieve that.
I'll tell you this, when I graduated from college, I went into corporate sales. Corporate sales taught me a lot. But one of the things that I do, if I have a passion behind something, and I know that that energy can transfer over to the next person. And I had a passion about what we did. So I'm one of those that may not know all the business back end, but as I've been growing, I know the biz, you know, I've come to learn it as I like through trial and error. But what I'm one of those that is just do it. So I'm a very logical person. 1 + 2 = 3. And then once 1 + 2 = 3, if there's anything in the middle, then we go figure that out later. So I'm not a business plan type of person. Shari isn't either. We just add it up. If it makes sense, we go for it. And I think that's what makes us different from some others that that may not be as successful in it. We just go for it. And we know that as time goes on, we reinvest our money back into the business, and because we know that has to happen in order for us to grow even further.
And this is Shari, and I would say, Rebecca, a lot of people say that was luck. You know, when we did our first Black Friday, and what did we do for Black Friday that year?
We did 300,000.
Yeah, we did 300,000 that weekend. Well, that Friday, and a lot of people say, "Oh, that's just luck." Well, the following year, we added to that. You know, I think a lot has to do with mindset, and like Tanya said, the willing to just get out there and do it. You know, you have to be able to shift your mind. So yeah, I don't think it was luck at all. I think it's just how we approach it, you know?
Well, this is Tanya, you have to have the vision first. So what I normally do with our team, our family works with this. So I have a set of twins who are 25. They had just graduated from college before when we started. And then she has a son who's also, and he was 19 when he started with us. And it's like trying to transfer our energy over into them. So the way we work is I will put a vision out there. Shari has a vision, but I put numbers out there. Look, we need to do A, B, C, and D on this day or prior to this, or I'll put the numbers out and then I have them work backwards. So for example, if if you're trying to do $100,000, you break that down and you're trying to do it within a month or so, then you break that down into 4 weeks. Then you take that 4 weeks and you break it down into the days, you know, and then you know how much you have to do per day, which makes it a little bit more simple than just jumping at that big number and feeling like you're overwhelmed by it. You have to be able to break this down. And so when we said, when we said we were going to reach 300,000 for our Black Friday, we had to take that 300,000 and break it down into what needs to be done. How many kits do we need to sell? How much with a discount? You know, like how many of this item? What's our overhead on each piece? Like we had to literally break down each piece and know exactly what we were targeting for. And then you do the marketing that's focused in that area in order to reach the goals. And so if you're not reaching that goal midway, then you get a little bit more aggressive and you do even more marketing. So until you get where you need to be. So that's pretty much our strategy in general. So sometimes our team can get a little laxed unless I put numbers behind it. So you always have to have some type of number in mind that you're reaching towards in order to achieve it. Because if you're just going blindly or you're not looking at your numbers every day or you're not looking at it quarterly or monthly, then you're just kind of floating like everyone else. So if you have a number, it inspires you to kind of think on how you're going to do it and reach whatever that vision is for you.
And just think about how many more people want results. How many more people out there are struggling with their hair and don't have a solution? And so that's where our minds goes. It's so many women, especially African-American women, that are struggling, who people have lied to them and told them their hair will not, cannot grow. So when we think about selling, we're thinking about all those women that need our products in their hand.
Clearly a huge key to success is sales. Tanya, it sounds like you are a whiz in that. What were some of the unexpected struggles that you encountered as you began, you know, you're growing really fast. I don't know if this happened to you, but it happened to us. We had a lot of unexpected growth and paying for it was hard, right? We couldn't afford it. So did you have any unexpected struggles when it came to the massive growth you had?
You mean financially only or just in general? Because I know COVID hit us bad with all of the backlogs and having to pay for so much in advance in order to have it within a certain amount of time. So maybe it was a combination of both. So with COVID, you had to order a lot in advance because you didn't know what was going to happen. So yes, for sure, money hit. So we had to strategize on how we were going to kind of pull it together in order to get those, buy those large quantities to be able to sell and not run out. Because Shari, we ran out a couple of times, right?
Yeah, well, I think our struggle was more, you know, trying to, the companies that we was using didn't have bottles, or they didn't have the tops, or we had to switch the color, or, you know, some people not taking us serious at first. You know, we're two Black women coming into this big corporation who's selling bottles, and they're looking at us like, you know, we're not paying you guys no attention. You guys now are main priority. So it was those type of problems we had to kind of push through and make our voice be heard.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I interview so many women, and just on the basis of being a woman, it's harder, right? Mm-hmm. They'll walk into a fundraising. They'll get immediately, you know, we know the statistics, 3% of women who are trying to get capital raise it. Then you add in women of color, mm-hmm. and it gets even more harder. So I would love to hear, you know, what you did to combat that, what you, you know, what you felt was helpful, you know, where you felt like, you know, okay, this is hard, but I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. So I think we just have to be firm. We have to talk. We have to let them know, listen, we're not going anywhere. You know, this company is going to be here. And we had to let them know that we was a serious company. And you know, what was surprising, I was just telling Tanya not too long ago, not only did we have to deal with the men, but sometimes we had to deal with certain women that got in that position who also, you know, kind of talked to women in a way where just trying to throw us off, you know? And so I think we just have to stand firm and we have to keep showing up every single day until we got what we needed. We had to show up, you know? And I think we saw a lot of that during COVID, you know? They're telling us, well, this is what it's going to be. We can't help you. To the point to where we had to really come out of that eventually. But while we was in that, we had to stand firm. We had to tell them what we needed. We didn't give up. And now we're taking more control of our bottling and our inventory and our cans and all that. So, but until then, we just have to stand firm. We have to show up every single morning on email, on conference calls, and, you know, pretty much demand that this is what we need. And we need it in this period.
Yeah, even the people that we had working for us, we had people that were outsourced as CPAs and people that kind of helped us a little bit with the business, who I felt like they didn't fully believe in us fully. So when we would say certain things, it would kind of be like, well, just hold up, wait a minute, just, you know, let's see what this is first. And we were fully confident in what we were doing. So it's almost like we had to prove ourselves. And once the numbers started hitting continuously, it was like, well, I fully didn't expect that, you know, or I had no clue, or, you know, so I think the proof became more so us coming through and showing ourselves so that we were in a position to be able to demand what we needed even more.
I'm happy you brought up that women were also pushing back at you, because I'm used to that being in fashion, but it's very rare that I hear that outside of fashion, you have people, you know, women not embracing women. But it definitely is something I'm very much used to, that I was shocked that, you know, women were running into with men. I was like, wait, it's not just women attacking women. That's what I deal with all the time.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure why. I feel like they're just, they act sometimes worse than the men.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's something that we have to face. And it's something that we definitely have to start talking about, because we should be at the point where we're helping each other. You know, we see another woman and we're trying to pull them back up, or we're trying to at least open the door a little bit. If they come with what they need, let's not block them. And I feel like sometimes other women, they try to block as well. And so, you know, yeah, that's something we have to figure out and fix.
I think it could be like somewhat of a competition also. And not only in our world of business does that happen, but even just in the world of just the consumers trying to block each other, especially when you see it on social media. That's not her hair. Her hair can't grow. The stereotypes that we have of ourselves that we just push on others, it's kind of mind blowing sometimes. And you kind of want to just go in, but you're like, let me just breathe, you know, a little bit. But it gets really, really bad just knowing how people are. It's like, you have time for this?
I know. I feel like, you know, you summed it up pretty good, that women sometimes are worse in how, you know, because we can get nasty in a way that men might just be cold-hearted business, and women can really
absolutely
just stick at that extra notch that you're just like, oh, that hurts.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
So what's next for the future of Dream Girls, and where do you see taking this?
You know, we want to do more of helping other women get to where they want to be in business. And I think a lot of people are not able to push through because of their mindset. And so that's one of the things we help people in our salon. I always say that our salon, we use our salon chair as a pulpit. And you'll be so surprised on how many women come into the salon, not only broken because of their self-esteem, of their hair being short, or they can't deal with their hair, they don't know how to take care of their hair. But that's just the surface that we can see a lot of it is so deeper, right? And so when we have them sit in our chairs and they start talking to us, it's like a whole different issue that we really got to attack. And you'll be surprised. A lot of people, they see us on social media, they see us doing different events, and they'll fly just to come sit in our chair to ask us a question. And so me and my sister was talking. It's like, we want to be able to create something to help more women, you know? And just to be honest, sometimes it's tiring trying to meet with this person and have coffee with this person and have dinner with this person. So we're trying to figure out how we can put something together to help the mass without us being pulled.
We tried it before. We used to do up close and personal with the Thompson sisters. So we were doing free events. Shari would fly out to Los Angeles. I would fly out to Sacramento once a month. And we literally had our rooms full or the room full of women who we were trying to, you know, pour motivation into and helping them to discover their dreams. We had speakers. We helped some people start up businesses. It was something that we were trying to extend from our chairs. So like Shari said, we would be in the chair, we would be talking to people. But I woke up one morning at the beginning of one year, I forgot which year that was. And I said, Shari, we need to be able to talk to people in full instead of just that few hours that we see them in the chair. So let's do this event. And we literally did it, and it was free for all. And we helped a lot of women, and we brought in speakers. We helped them set up nonprofits, their corporations, kind of helped them, you know, realize what their vision was and to go ahead and implement it. So we did that for a little while until Shari started having babies.
and the thing is this, I think the reason why a lot of people can relate to us is because we're transparent. You know, I understand how it feels to get your car repo. I understand how it feels for your house to almost go into foreclosure and don't have any idea how to save it. And then your mom and your sister jumps in and help you save your house. I understand how it feels to go down to Salvation Army and beg them to pay for my SMUD or pay my gas bill or not having to bring a generator into my house because I didn't have lights for my kids, you know? So being where some of my clients are or was or just came out of and being able to show them this is what I did, you know, and I was just there maybe 15 years ago. Now I'm living in my dream house. Now it has a lot to do with shifting your mind and changing the way you speak, changing the way you think about yourself. And then sometimes it's changing your surroundings, right? Change the people you're hanging out with. And so I think that's our passion. We really want to help other women. And of course, we have new products coming out for our product, for our line. And so we're excited. We're excited about 2022.
I love your optimism. And I love that, you know, I think that unfortunately today there is a lot of victim, I'll call it victim culture. Maybe it's a term I'm making up, but I couldn't do it because this happened to me. You know, and then you see the people that have broken through adversity or struggles. And it's like anyone who's achieved anything has had incredible struggles, hardship. You know, obviously there's different scales of it. What some people have had to overcome versus others. But there's still this grit and this like, you know what? Yep, it wasn't handed to me. That's not fair. But here I go.
Exactly.
Where do you get that mentality? You think you were born with it? Do you think it was how your mom raised you? And how do you think other women could shift that mindset to feel that way? Because we're all not dealt equal hands, but we could just give up or we could just, you know, pull through.
Yeah. I think it's the story we tell ourselves. We have to change the story. And I think it did come from my mom. My mom was a very hardworking woman. And my mom and dad passed away 2 years ago, 7 months apart. And so I just remember my mom always used to say, whatever you do, you know, go out there and you get it and make sure that if you are married or you do have someone with you, that you can hold it down by yourself if you can. Don't rely on anyone. She used to always tell me and my sister that. And for myself, it was my mom and my sister. So my sister would just say, I'll come with a situation like, Tanya, this is happening to me, or, you know, I'm dealing with this. She'll be like, just do it. What's the problem? okay, well, do this, do that, push through. And so I think it has a lot to do on how personally, Mr. Shari, how I was raised with my sister and how the things my mom would say to me, that I always had that mindset, even going through what I was going through, even almost losing my house, losing my car right in front of my salon, you know, I always had that mindset where, okay, this is leaving me, but something is going to come. Something's about to break through. And so I believe that's why I'm where I am, is because I never allow what was going on to be my story. It was just something that was helping me get to the next level, even when it was bad. Even when I didn't have food in my house, even when the lights went out, you know, even when I had to sleep overnight to try to get my house financed at the arena, I always was seeing the future, like the future is better. And then not just seeing it, but doing the things I had to do to make the future better, if that makes sense. And so I think a lot of that it came from my sister, and it also came definitely from, you know, my mom. We was raised in a middle class family, so we never needed for anything, but we never had the abundance either, you know? And so I know growing up, and I can speak for my sister, we never wanted to worry about finances. We never wanted to worry about not having, not being able to go on a trip or not being able to go buy what we wanted to buy. And so even in my struggles, I always kept that in front of me. Like, okay, one day I'm just going to be able to go to the grocery store and not worry about what I put in my basket and just pay for it. And even when I wasn't able to do that, I still vision that. And now today I go to the grocery store, I don't worry about what's in my basket, and I just pay for it. I saw where I am now 15 years ago when I didn't have anything. And I think that's important.
One of the things, us being kind of like, I would call us strong women, can be a blessing and a curse, because, you know, some of the things that I know I'm speaking for myself too. And I think Shari also sometimes, especially having kids, you feel like people feel like you don't feel any of the pain when you're going through it. But in our minds, we're really pushing through the pain. So like when we're talking to our kids or talking to others around us, it's like, why are you thinking about what the negative is? What are you going to do about that? Let's start thinking about the positive. So I think in our heads, so like if my kids come to me and they're in their sorrow about something or something's going on, it's like, look, what are you going to do about that? Let's just push through. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. So I think our mindset has always been fix it. Our mom, she grew up without both of her parents. She, you know, she had six brothers and they stayed with their aunt and they all spread. So it was like a big deal for her trying to make sure that we had a great, you know, that we lived great. And some, you know, of course, as you move through generations, things from each generation is passed on to the next. So one of the things, like Shari said, she taught us to always make sure that we could stand on our own and not have to depend on someone, even if you're in a relationship, just in case. So I think I took that to heart. And again, part of that may have been a blessing and a curse, because you kind of take on this strong armor fold of, you know, and you feel like people feel like you don't have any feelings about certain things, but it's not that. You're just kind of focusing your mind on what you need to do to move forward and get past and be mm-hmm. comfortable and not have to fall. But Shari and I have both had some really big downfalls in the middle of it. We've taken some big hits but we just get right back up, or we see, like she said, we see the vision in front of us. So we work towards that vision and we're like, okay, in my mind, I'm only here for a second. I'm only here for a second. So let me just take the steps that I need to get to the next place. And I'm going to give myself a timeline. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, then you're good.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible for relationships.
yeah, it is. It is. That's a yes. It really.
Where has that affected you guys? Because you work together. So how has that relationship worked out?
We're good. We're good. We argue. We do all that. You know, actually, our birthdays are a day apart, so we're both Capricorn. So sometimes I think our saving grace is that we live about 6 hours apart. So we're not around, because we both have strong personalities, but Shari's a little bit more sensitive than me. So I think that's where our problems kind of come into play. And sometimes she thinks I don't have the feelings that she has. So we kind of, you know, but in our business workplace, I'm more on the business side, and Shari is very much so on the marketing side. And when you talk about just do it, she's definitely that person off, probably even more than me. So she pushes. We know our lanes. That's the biggest thing. We kind of know our lanes and we stay in our lane. Shari will throw things back over to me. And if it's something else, I'll say, go talk to Shari. So, and we don't get upset about each other working within their lane. You know, we don't try to control those things. So I think it's been good. I think more so it's Shari and I against the kids now, trying to figure them out more than us, you know, trying to get them where we need to be, although they've done a phenomenal job so far.
Awesome. Before we wrap, I'd love to get from each one of you a piece of advice that you either haven't given yet in this podcast, but that you either learned the hard way and would love to pass on, or someone gave to you that you feel is valuable.
I would say don't let hardships get in your way. Just take that step. Like don't let all of the, like, for example, if someone tells you that you need a business plan or you need to do this and all these obstacles that get in your way, don't worry about that. Just do it. That is the biggest thing I would say that you need to do. Just do it. Take that step. Even if you fail, you get right back up. You will have learned from it and you keep it moving.
I love it.
Yeah. You need a therapist for your past and a coach for your future. And that goes in every area in your life. I think we need someone to help us deal with the trauma that we dealt with, because the trauma can stop your future, right? It can put so many hurdles in your future if you don't deal with your past, with the wounds. And then as far as the future, you need a coach. A lot of things could be prevented if we have someone in our corner helping us along the way. And so we could think about that in business. We could think about that in health. We could think about that in relationships. We need a coach. We need a therapist for our past, and we need a coach for our future.
I love that. I'm taking that one. So where can everyone find out more about Dream Girls, follow you, et cetera? Give me all the handles, all the places.
So I am, Tanya is Hair by Tanya, TONYA. And then we also have our social media tag is Dream Girls Hair, one word. And then our website is www.dghair.com. And then Shari, you want to give them yours?
Yes, it's I am Shari Wilson.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It was so great to get to know you, even from afar. And I can't wait to see what happens. The future is very bright for you guys. So thanks again.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.